It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
This morning I spoke to ACT Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden, as you heard in that sting. Last week the announcement of the special votes saw the Māori Party gain an extra seat in Parliament because of the full representation rule. This rule allows an electorate MP to bring list MPs into Parliament with them to reflect the proportion of the party vote, regardless of whether they meet the 5% threshold. I spoke to Brooke about the ACT Party's reaction to the Labour Party announcing they would do away with the rule, which has been very beneficial to ACT in the past. We began, however, by talking about the ACT Party's criticism of the government's Recognised Seasonal Worker, or RSE, scheme. Van Velden recognised two problem areas.
There are two things here with the RSE workers. There's what was happening before COVID and what's happening now. So currently the government has not set really clear rules of the game and has allowed some RSE workers in, for the example, in the fisheries sector, but it hasn't in some of our horticultural industry, and we've seen fruit and vegetables just rotting on the ground because people in those industries can't get the usual workers that they would in during the season that they would. And that's going to be a real problem because, you know, we've got zucchinis up in Northland that are currently ripening and they're just turning to mush. No one's there to actually pick them that would usually come in from overseas. And in a few months' time, we're going to be having the stone fruit season as well. So those are things like your apricots, your plums and your cherries. And those are huge exporters for us. And if we don't get those workers in, then we have this real problem that we're not exporting out and we're not helping our economy during the COVID crisis. But this has been an ongoing issue. I mean, for years the ACT Party has been saying that we shouldn't be capping our RSE workers because what happens is that industry employers have to go to the government and say, could we please have some workers to come in, and they're allocated for them. So we've been saying for years that we should get rid of that cap, because what ended up happening last year was some of our strawberry growers and other groups weren't able to get the workers that they needed. They went to the government, and the government just didn't decide on how many RSE workers were supposed to be allowed in. The timeline was pushed back for months and months and months, and that caused a huge amount of stress and anxiety amongst some of our exporters. And, you know, during COVID, there are actually a lot of companies that would be willing to bring people in, and it doesn't seem right that the government has said, yes, we can bring some people in for fisheries, but we can't bring in the Samoan workers that we usually would for our horticultural industry.
And so, yeah, ACT's contention is kind of this has been a two-pronged issue, and it's the fact that it has been capped in the past that has now led us to the situation we are, because if we were to lift the cap now, that wouldn't be a solution, right? Because we would still have to get all the people over here, they have to quarantine. And
yeah, that's right. So if we weren't in this COVID reality, we would still be saying let's get rid of that cap, because there are workers that our businesses do need here, and it's seasonal work, so these aren't full-time jobs for months and months. These are short stints, and that money is actually really important to go back to the islands. You know, this is like a two-way system. We need the workers, and people from the islands want the money. You know, it goes back to those places where it helps families. And so currently we've kind of closed off our borders to our island friends and said, sorry, you can't come in here and use that usual money that you would have for seasonal work. But we're also saying to our businesses that usually rely on it, sorry, you can't get the workers either. And there doesn't seem to be a clear case why not, because there isn't any COVID in the islands.
A lot of people were using the argument that there are a lot of New Zealanders out of work, and so maybe they could benefit from having first priority of these jobs. But why are we not seeing New Zealanders taking up those jobs?
Well, it's the same reason at the moment as why it has been for years. There's always been a shortage of people wanting to take up seasonal work. And I can see the argument of saying we have people on the job seeker benefit looking for work, but those jobs have never been filled. You know, in the case of, I think it was Brett Heath, who was up on Monday talking about the zucchinis, you know, he goes and approaches people for job seeker benefit work, and they just don't want to take it up. And I think, you know, there is a big difference here between people who have lost their jobs in COVID living in Auckland and telling them that they should suddenly move temporarily to Kerikeri for a job that can only be for a few weeks. So, I mean, there's a lot of uplifting that would happen that we wouldn't actually want to see happen in New Zealand. But it is short-stinted work, and I think we should be allowing people who usually have that opportunity to come into New Zealand, especially if those companies are willing to quarantine people, you know, at their own expense.
If we were just to come back to the idea of an uncapped RSE, are there any concerns around that, though, that then you end up with more workers than you actually need?
No, I mean, it would sort it out for itself, but essentially what happens now is that there's an allocation system. So, you know, the government might say we're allowing in a certain number of thousand per people this year for RSE, and that gives a lot of uncertainty to a business because they have to essentially go to the government and ask to be given an allocation, a small portion of those number of employees, even if they wanted more of them. So there's always been a shortage. Prime example was in strawberries, but the real issue there is that there is a need to ask the government for the workers rather than being able to say we actually need, you know, 1,500 and going out to the market and getting 1,500 people. The government might come back and say, well, during the allocations we're giving you 1,300, so you're getting this shortfall of 200 people. If a business needs employees, they should be able to go out and get them.
And I know there already have been concerns in the past about seasonal workers being taken advantage of and underpaid. Do you not think, would an uncapped system not exacerbate this and kind of create a race to the bottom where those who are willing to work for the least will be prioritised?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. I think where there is exploitation, it certainly should be taken care of. But I would say that in all aspects of work, not just RSE workers, there's always going to be, you know, one little bad apple somewhere. But that doesn't mean that we should, you know, need government to take care of all of it. Certainly, I think in all cases of employment law, where someone is breaking it, they should be held accountable for that.
Thank you, Brooke. And bad apple was a very fitting metaphor, might I just add. If we moved on now to the second topic of full representation. Now, there's an ACT press release saying that Labor is against the idea of full representation. Where have they actually said that? Because I was trying to find a press release from Labor or a comment. Or has that just been a long-standing position of theirs?
Oh, I think it was raised in the media a few days ago. I do remember seeing where it was, but like you, I wouldn't actually be able to tell you where I've seen it. But the issue of full representation, it did come up this week, especially around whether we should get rid of the full representation, which is if a party wins an electorate seat and also gets a certain percentage of the party vote that's under the 5% threshold, whether or not they should be entitled to more seats in Parliament. And the issue there really is if we got rid of it, we would be not allowing what is a genuine representation in Parliament. And the classic example is the Māori Party winning its second seat. And to get rid of that would be to deny them representation of people who did want their party in Parliament.
Yeah, I guess one sort of criticism of that, though, is that it's not really a full representation, though, is it? Because, I mean, the Māori Party did get less percent of the votes than New Zealand First, the Opportunities Party, and even New Conservatives. So I guess some people see it as unfair that just because you get a seat, then suddenly you get to sneak in and more members and bypass what is actually a proportionate representation of what the New Zealand public voted for.
Mm. I think there's a different way of looking at it, though, in that, you know, the system MMP was designed to ensure that people who are represented well, want representation can get represented, but also to ensure that people who have such a fringe view can't be elected into Parliament and win power. And I think it strikes a really good balance there, in that it's actually quite hard to win, you know, 1 in 20 votes, 1 in 20 people around the country, or the geographic support of an area of people. You know, and there is not going to be a fringe view that's coming through if you're getting a whole geographic area of people to represent. And in doing so, I think you meet that threshold of, is this a genuine idea that people want to be represented in Parliament, or is it a very, very fringe view? And so by winning a whole geographic area and also winning a proportion of representation throughout New Zealand, I think you should be entitled to having a second or third seat because, you know, you've already managed to make that threshold of valid view.
Mm. And the reason that ACT is saying that Labour wants to get rid of this is because it doesn't suit Labour's own political advantage. But I guess, I mean, the obvious response to that being maybe the reason ACT wants to keep it is because in the past it has been very helpful to ACT as well. So I guess it kind of points to that importance of having consensus in electoral law.
Yeah, I think there's an importance of making sure that we're not just changing electoral law to fit anyone's political agenda. Changing an electoral law would actually be a huge constitutional change. And I think you'd have to point to what is the reason for changing it, and is there a problem with the status quo? And I don't think that there is actually a problem with the status quo, because like I said, you either have to get the support of an entire geographical area of people, which is not easy to do, or have 1 in 20 people nationwide want you to represent them in Parliament. And I think that has worked well in the past, but also it's allowed us to have more diversity in the system that we wouldn't have seen before MMP. And so to kind of change it either one way or the other would be for a political advantage of one side or the other. So I would say we shouldn't be changing it.
Hmm. Yeah, just interestingly, I did note though that this isn't actually one of the entrenched provisions of the Electoral Act. So, I mean, it doesn't require a 75% majority. So Labour, with the majority, you know, the over 50% they have in Parliament, could change it themselves.
Yeah, and I would really query what the purpose of them doing that would be, if that was something that they wish to go ahead with, because it could only be seen that it would be for a political gain. And I don't think that would be good for our democracy.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.